أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاخت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم قل للمؤمنين يغضوا من أبصارهم ويحفظوا فروجهم وقال أمير المؤمنين عليه الصلاة والسلام حسب ما نقل في غرر الحكم ودرر الكلم من كثر فكره في المعاصي دعته إليها صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
الله سبحانه وتعالى is teaching us teaching the mu'mineen that they lower their gaze and protect their chastity and likewise later on Allah is also asking the mu'minat قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ وَيَحْفَظْنَ فُرُوجَهُنَّ وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ إِلَّا مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَلْيَضْرِبْنَ بِخُمُرِهِنَّ عَلَى جُيُوبِهِنَّ So it's an obligation on the mu'min men to lower their gaze. It's an Islamic teaching which asks the men to lower their gaze towards the non-mahram woman, and it's an Islamic teaching for the women who believe should lower their gaze towards the men, and it's the obligation of both of them to protect their private parts and their chastity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a comprehensive nizam and system for the successful existence of the society. A way in which we can protect our spirituality and hence we can protect our life in this dunya and in the akhirat. So obviously there is discussion among the mufassireen about the extent of hijab in the light of this same verse which I recited in front of you, which is discussing about the issue of hijab. وَلْيَضْرِبْنَ بِخُمُرِهِنَّ عَلَى جُيُوبِهِنَّ So in the light of the verse, obviously it's necessary on the women to cover their necklines and the head scarf should be worn, and they need to cover their necklines. So obviously the discussion among the Mufassireen is there, and there's an ittifaq and consensus among all the Mufassireen saying that this ayat, according to this ayat, the head, the hair needs to be covered. Hair of the head has to be covered. So there is no controversy about that. There is a discussion and a little controversy about illa ma zahara minha, except what is obvious. Illa ma zahara. So now, obviously, in the riwayat of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he says that this ayat, this segment of the ayat, is talking about the apparent clothes, the clothes which are worn over, and those are visible, and the visible apparent clothes that the woman wears, that's what it is allowed for her to expose to the non-mahram people. Whereas the narration of Abdullah ibn Abbas says that this segment of the ayat, illa ma zahara minha, is related to the face and the two hands. So this much which is only allowed for the woman to expose to non-mahram people is the face. And obviously our fuqaha have mentioned in their books of fatwa that the face which is wajib to wash in wudu, that much can be kept open, and the two hands below the wrists. This is a very important subject of chastity and hijab. Hijab is something which applies to both men and women. Now, the extent of hijab is different for both the genders. The hijab for the men is related entirely towards their obviously it's related partially to their dress code as well in Islam. And it's an obligation of the men to observe the hijab of the eyes as well. Whereas the hijab of the woman is related, not restricted, not only to the eyes, but also to their dress code. So the eyes has to be, is considered a common thing, a common segment of the hijab for both the genders. But the dress code is obviously different for them. Another verse of the Holy Quran, it's very significant, brothers and sisters, that we are discussing and commemorating the darbat of Amir al-Mu'mineen wa Imam al-Muttaqeen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. And tonight will be the night of darbat. As the night comes in, so we find that in the month of Ramadan, when the before the month of Ramadan, when the Holy Prophet had delivered his famous sermon Al Khutbatu Sha'baniya, before the arrival of the month of Ramadan, and at that occasion in the city of Medina, Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam asked the question to Rasulullah that ma afzalul a'mal, which is the most superior of the actions in this month, in other words. And we find that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam replied, afzalul a'mal, the most superior of all the actions, according to the narration, is al wara'u an maharimillah. That means keeping away from the harams of Allah. Maharim Allah means the harams, muharramat. So the most superior thing in the month of Ramadan is not mentioned by the Holy Prophet as doing the Salatul Layl, Namaz al-Shab, which is very important as well. And we all accept its importance. The most important thing is not the Tilawat of Quran, which is very important as well. And the most important thing is not any other charities or any other lisani verbal zikr of Allah, which is also very, very good. But the most important thing is definitely abstaining from the harams. So if we abstain from the haram in the month of Ramadan with the niyat of qurbatan ilallah, I'm not just leaving this haram for any other social reasons or any other cultural reasons. I am leaving this haram, abstaining from the haram to seek the nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that I can seek His pleasure, qurbatan ilallah. Then this act of a mu'min in the month of Ramadan, abstaining from a haram, you know, when we are interacting with people of other genders, other non-mahram people, whether in the workplace or in the internet or anywhere else, we abstain from looking at anyone with the eyes of haram. So if this kind of act is done for the sake of qurbatan ilallah, that we abstain from the harams, this is the most superior act performed in the month of Ramadan. So we find that abstaining from the harams is the high top list agenda for a mu'min. Not just how much I read Quran. It's very good that we should read Quran, and this is the month of Quran, the wahi and the revelation, and we should be focusing on Quran. But this is not the most superior act. The most superior act is avoiding the harams. And we find that obviously this ayat of Holy Quran which I recited, Ya أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ قُلْ لِأَزْوَاجِكَ وَبَنَاتِكَ وَنِسَاءِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يُدْنِينَ عَلَيْهِنَّ مِنْ جَلَابِيبِهِنَّ ذَلِكَ أَدْنَى أَنْ يُعْرَفْنَا. So in the light of this verse from Surah Al-Ahzab, verse 59, we understand that Allah is commanding His Prophet that that this has to be said to His wives, daughters, and the sister and the women of the mu'mineen, that basically they are supposed to jalabib, in which is the plural of jilbab. In the tafsir, our scholars say that jilbab is a dress which is smaller than the abaya. The abaya is a longer dress to cover the body, but jilbab is, in the tafsir says, it's smaller than abaya, and it's bigger than the headscarf. So a jilbab is smaller than abaya and bigger than the headscarf. And the purpose of jilbab is supposed to cover the head and the chest. So this is the job of the sisters to cover their bodies with that. So this is how they are going to be recognized and known with iffat, and recognized with the iffat and chastity, and they will be they will avoid the ta'arruz, people harming them and having ta'arruz towards them. So also when the question was asked to the woman, to the men, to the ashab of the Prophet, that what is the best for the woman, we find that none of the ashab can reply back. And when the same question has been transferred to Hazrat Fatima al-Zahra salamullahi alayha, as it is narrated in Kashful Ghimmah, so she said to the question, she gave the response which is considered the best response, and the response with which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam became pleased. According to this narration, so she replied back that خَيْرٌ لِلنِّسَاءَ أَنْ لَا يَرَيْنَ الرِّجَالَ وَلَا يَرَاهُنَّ الرِّجَالَ. So the best for the woman is that they do not see the men, and the men do not see them. So obviously this is the best thing that we all know, it's halal in Islam, in the fatawa of our maraji, for the woman to work and to go out in the workplaces by protecting their hijab and chastity and their values, and with the izn and permission of the husband. But the best thing is what is mentioned in the hadith. The best will continue to be what Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha would say. So we find that this is the peak of spirituality and ruhaniyat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to take the men and the women to that level, and especially in this month of Ramadan, which is supposed to help us in achieving the ruhaniyat and taqwa and fear of Allah. So when the Prophet heard this response from his daughter, we find where the Prophet had said, Fatima to bal'atum minni. Fatima is a part of me. So this shows the greatness of Hazrat Zahra sallallahu alayha and the importance of the issue that she has mentioned in this hadith. Another incident we find in the life of the Prophet when Ibn Maktum, who was a Sahabi of Rasulullah, but he was blind. And he came into the house of the Prophet once, and that narration is narrated by Ummul Mumineen Salima. She says that me and Maymuna was another wife of the Prophet, we were present, and Ibn Maktum entered into the house, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, as narrated in Biharul Anwar, that ihtajiba, I mean, you two do the hijab. So I said to the Prophet that this guy is blind, that he cannot even see us. Prophet said, are you blind? That means, in other words, if he is blind, I mean, you are not blind. If he cannot see you, in other words, you are able to see him. Are you not seeing him? Prophet says in the hadith. So basically, this shows again the level of, and in a similar incident we find, which is narrated in some other narrations, that Hazrat Zahra sallallahu alayha, she went inside the house. When this thing happened, that Ibn Maktum came another time, she went inside the house, and Prophet inquired her that, why are you doing the hijab when he cannot see you? In other words, and she replies back that in lam yakun yarani if he is not able to see me, if he doesn't see me, then I am able to see him. In other words, and huwa yashmur rih, and he can smell the smell. So basically, this is the level of ruhaniyat which has been displayed by the household of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. So we find that it is very significant, brothers and sisters, that when we are teaching to our sons in the house, when we teach our daughters in the house about the hijab and the concept of chastity, we inform them to abstain from the harams related to this issue. And nazar and eyes are considered by the hadith, looking towards non-mahram is sahmun min sihami iblis. It's an arrow among the arrows of iblis. I mean, this is how the iblis is basically victimizing the person, targeting the person. This is how a person falls in the trap of shaitan. So the month of Ramadan is the best opportunity for us to basically tame our desires and lusts, and to make ourselves and control ourselves to the level that when we end up in situations like this, we are able to exercise caution, abstinence and control. Because in the hadith of Imam Al-Baqir alayhi salatu was salam, he says, "Ma." And عبد الله بشيء أفضل من عفة بطن وفرج. That's narrated in Kitab al-Kafi. So Allah is not worshipped through anything superior than chastity of the stomach and the private part. So that's the most superior worship that Allah has you know, there is no worship ever in the history you can find that anybody did towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala better than this worship. So again we come to the same point which I mentioned earlier in the beginning minutes of my speech, that that the most superior act of the month of Ramadan which we are in is not the tilawat of Quran. Let's be clear about that. This is something, tilawat of Quran is very, very good, but that's not the most superior act. You know, there are so many of the Khawarij who used to do tilawat of Quran, and so many of the enemies also who do the same thing even today. But what is missing between the A'da of Ahlul Bayt and the enemies of Ahlul Bayt and the enemies of Islam and us is, and those munafiqeen, I mean, is what is missing is the Iman and Taqwa. So this is the opportunity in the month of Ramadan to strive for either achieving the Taqwa if we do not have it, or maintaining the Taqwa if we have the Taqwa already, and excelling and advancing the level of the Daraja of Taqwa to the higher levels in the month of Ramadan. So abstaining and protecting the Iffat and chastity of the batn means we avoid allowing anything which is haram, and also ihtimalan the things which are mushtabah. You know, it should be avoided as a duty of a mu'min, as an ihtiyat. It's also part of the concept, greater concept of iffat and ilm al-akhlaq. And also the iffat of the batn means controlling our private parts from things which are haram. So we find that's where the role of timely marriages comes in Islam for our children, our sons and daughters, especially in the West. It's an obligation of the father and the mother to remember and forget about comparing their own past and the ages in which they entered into this marital relationship, and keeping in mind the needs and the darurat of this society where we are living in. It's very important that we keep in mind so we can protect the ruhaniyat of our sons and our daughters. So, you know, one haram looking at somebody is all it takes to destroy the spirituality. Isn't it right? One nazar towards a haram with lust towards a non-mahram person is enough. And is enough for buying the ghadab and wrath and anger of Allah against us. So the concept of hijab also, as I already discussed the hijab for the men in the earlier, and also the hijab for the woman. Now we have another hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in Kitab al-Kafi. According to this narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam says, لا ينبغي للمرأة أن تجمر ثوبها إذا خرجت من بيتها. So it's not appropriate for a woman to basically wear the dress in a way you collect it to yourself and you squeeze it, so that it sticks to your body. In other words, the tight clothes. In our language, you can say wearing the tight clothes that show the body figure and contour and the size. So that's not appropriate for a woman to wear the tight clothes when she goes out of the house. And Laysa Linnisa'i, another narration says, according to the narration in Al-Kafi, Laysa Linnisa'i min surat al-tariq walakin jambayhi. It's not for the woman to walk in the middle of the path, in other words, but on the sides of the path. Look at how much Islam has been emphasizing on chastity and iffat. So, we learn in our Islamic teachings, the men should move aside. If you find the women are moving, are coming forward, you leave the path for them. You know, so don't block the way for the women. The women are supposed to walk on the sides of the path, not in the middle of the path. If the person, a man, comes to his house, arriving in your house also has rules applying on that, which is related to the iffat and chastity concept of Islam that we are discussing tonight. So, we learn that when a man comes to his house, he's supposed to, the hadith from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam says, according to this narration in Bihar al-Anwar, that يُسَلِّمُ الرَّجُلْ إِذَا دَخَلَ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ. The man says salam on his when he enters on his family, and وَإِذَا دَخَلَ يَضْرِبُ بِنَعْلَيْهِ وَيَتَنَحْنَحُ. The man, when he enters into the house and his family, in other words, he strikes his feet, his slippers, his shoes. That means you strike your shoes on the ground. So you basically, you make the your family members know that you are arriving. وَيَتَنَحْنَهُ, he cuffs. So cuffing, obviously in those days there was no bell to ring the bell and let the people in the house know that you are now entering into the house. There was no bell in those days. So tanahno and cuffing is one of the ways to make the people in the house understand that you are entering the house. It's part of the adab of Islam. Even the husband who is entering into his own wife, there's no one else, but still it's part of the adab that the husband lets her know before he enters into the house. يَصْنَعُ ذَلِكَ حَتَّى يُؤْذِنَهُمْ أَنَّهُ قَدْ جَاءَ. The man does this so that he makes them know that he has arrived. He, in other words, and حَتَّى لَا يَرَى شَيْئًا يَكْرَهُهُ. So he doesn't end up seeing, he doesn't see what he hates. This is how the effort has been protected. So the man does not see inside the house what he hates to see. This is how, you know, we have been asked to train ourselves and to train our family members to do that. The solution to the attacks of shaitan against our ruhaniyat and spirituality is nothing but haya. Haya is the Islamic solution. That we cultivate haya into our sons and our daughters. Our son should feel that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching. This is what haya is all about. Haya means the sense of responsibility and the remembrance of Allah all the time in a way that you feel hesitant and shy in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you feel that you are in the presence of Allah, in the hudur, in the mahdar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what haya is all about, that we feel we are in the mahdar and hudur of Allah. Alam mahzare khudas, the mahzare khuda maasiyat na kuni. This is a very famous sentence of Imam al-Khumayni radhiyallahu anhu. He used to say, this world, this universe is in the hudur of Allah. So don't do the sin in the hudur of Allah. If there's a child present in front of me, a 5-year-old child, I'm not going to change my clothes in front of a 5-year-old. Isn't it right? Because I don't want to possibly get insulted in front of the community. Because the child can go and tell to the elders, see, I saw this person doing this and this and this. And I will get humiliated in front of the community. So I feel haya because I am the mahdar. I am in the hudur of the child. I am in the presence of a child. When I feel the presence of somebody, I feel hesitant to violate. So haya means cultivating this value in the spirituality of our children, that they always feel that Allah is watching. So they always feel that they are in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the solution that Allah, so the Islam has provided to protect our ruhaniyat. Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wa salam says, according to this narration in Ghurar al-Hikam, according to Mizan al-Hikmah, Al-Haya'u miftahu kulli khair. Haya is the key towards every khair and goodness. Another narration says that A'qalu an-nas ahyahum. The most intellectual of all the people is the one who has the highest haya. So we understand in the light of this narration, haya also has darajat. It's not just one standard level of haya. So our scholars of akhlaq say that all the sins are performed because of three reasons: quwwatun Ghadabiyya, the anger problem. Quwwatun shahwiyya, the lusts and desires towards this dunya and the love of dunya and love of the attachments of the dunya. Isn't it right? Love of the attachments of dunya. And quwwatun wahmiyya, in the thoughts of the people. Some people are thinking about the haram. The hadith of Amir al-Mumineen alayhi salam, which I chose to mention in the beginning of my speech tonight, this is what I recited from Ghurar al-Hikam. According to this narration, Amir al-Mumineen alayhi salam had said, "Man kasura fikruhu fil ma'asi da'atho ilayha." Whoever thinks a lot about sins, it's going to take him towards the sins. In other words, if I think a lot about sinning, about doing some kind of haram, some sins, it keeps on coming in my mind. I keeps on thinking about doing this. It may happen that this lot of thinking may lead me to end up doing the sin. So what's the Islamic duty in, what's the chastity and iffat concept of Islam requires from us? Stop thinking about sinning. This is when we stop thinking about sin, that's the solution of haya that we provide for. So we, this is how we become obedient towards Allah. Aqalun nas ahyahum. The most intellectual is not the person who drives a Jaguar. The most intellectual is not the person who can challenge the ahkam of Allah. It doesn't make sense to me. You know, why are we supposed to pour water in wudu from top towards bottom? Why not bottom towards top? It doesn't make sense to me. Who are you and what is your sense? Where in the world do you stand in front of Allah to challenge His rulings? My teacher Ayatullah Jawadi Amuli Hafazahullah was saying, Allah did not mention the reasons of ahkam in the Holy Quran except for the sake of the thing related to the fitrat of the person. So but when it comes to the aqaid, Allah talks about the barahin, not one. Huge list of barahin have been mentioned by Allah. I just told you in the other night that only the Surah Al-An'am has 40 evidences about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when it comes to the Usuluddin, the same so-called intellectuals who are challenging the ahkam of Allah, challenging the laws of the creator of intellect, most of them you will find they don't even know the dalil about the barahin that they are supposed to know about the Usuluddin. So when it comes where they were supposed to use the intellect, they are blank. This is the jahl and jahalat, not intellectualism. They are the most dumbest people around. They are the most stupid people around who are challenging the ahkam of the khaliq al-aql in the name of intellectualism. There is nothing more stupid than that. So we find aqalun nas in the dictionary of Imam Ali alayhi salam, whom we are discussing tonight and mentioning tonight. In his dictionary, the most intellectual person is the one who has the highest level of haya towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The most haya. How much we have hesitance in violating the law of Allah. So we feel that Allah is there and Allah is watching us all the time. And we don't end up violating what He has said. Now, the iffat that we are discussing, another narration says that sabab, according to the narration, sabab, according to this naql, sabab al-iffat al-haya. Another one says, ala qadr al-haya'i takun al-iffa. That means, as much as haya is there, iffat and chastity will be there. So chastity is directly proportional to your haya. The more you feel that you are in the presence of Allah, the more you will end up avoiding the harams and feel hesitance in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and end up having iffat and chastity. And what if a person does not have the haya? Then this kind of person doesn't have the iman in at all, because the hadith says, from according to the naql in Biharul Anwar, la imana liman la haya alahu. The person who doesn't have haya has no iman. So haya is directly proportional to the entire faith. faith in Allah, faith in the Messenger, faith in all the rest of the Anbiya and the books of God and the Qiyamah and Imamah and everything else which are part of the Usuluddin. So before I come to close to the end, there is a hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in Safinatul Bihar, narrated by Muhaddis al-Qumi, where Prophet has said, according to this narration, إِذَا كَانَ أُمَرَاءُكُمْ شِرَارَكُمْ, if your rulers are the worst among you, that means the worst people among you become your rulers, if that's the situation, in other words, وَأَغْنِيَاءُكُمْ بُخَلَاءَكُمْ, and your rich people are the misers, the ones who are bakhil. The rich ones among you are the ones who are bakhil. They are bakhil and bukhala and misers. وَأُمُورَكُمْ إِلَى نِسَائِكُمْ, and the charge of your affairs, your control in the hands of the women. I mean, your umur are towards your women, in other words. The text of the hadith according to that says, أُمُورَكُمْ إِلَى نِسَائِكُمْ. So I was explaining in my own words. And that's what we learn in the light of the hadith. فَبَطْنُ الْأَرْضِ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ مِنْ ظَهْرِهَا, then inside the earth is better for you than outside of it. That means you deserve to die. If this situation arises for the people, for any community, for any person or group of people, where this is their situation, that their rulers are the worst among them, and their rich people are the misers, and their affairs are towards the woman, then they deserve to die. They don't deserve to live. Death is better for them. Going into the graves is better for them. Obviously, the more they would stay alive on the face of earth, the more they would do the sins and the harams. Isn't that right? So we find that the chastity has been extremely emphasized, and abstaining of the harams. The night of Dharbat of Amir Mumin alayhi salam, we find when the narration says from Umm Kulsoom salamullah alayha, when Amir Mumin, which I'm paraphrasing this and all the upcoming narrations in my own words, according to what these have been narrated. So she says when Amir Mumin came to her house, and obviously Imam Ali alayhi salam in that night was she brought the food for him, and she brought two pieces of bread made of barley, naan-e-jaw, two pieces of bread made of barley and salt and the milk. Imam Ali alayhi salam, when he saw this kind of food, he said that don't you know that I follow what Rasulullah did. So that basically his food and his lifestyle is similar to Rasulullah's food and lifestyle. Isn't it right? Prophet never used to, this is not part of the hadith I'm explaining to you, Prophet never used to eat two things at one time. Isn't it right? Likewise, Imam Amir Mumin alayhi salam never used to eat two things at one time, two different foods of different color at one time. So Imam asked him to take one of those things, basically is asking her to take one of those things away. And so we find that Umm Kulsoom took the milk away and she left the bread. So Amir Mumin did the iftar in that night with the bread, and then again went towards his ibadat. He was busy in ruku and sujood and ibadat, and he was constantly, after a while he comes out and looks towards the sky, and then he also said, "Hiya, hiya, wallah," according to some of the narrations, that this is the night, this is that night, I swear to Allah. So he knew about the night, which is the night of his darbat. He knew that this is the night. And he used to recite this ayat of Quran, Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And he used to say a lot, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. A lot he used to say that. And we find that night Imam Ali didn't go out for the Salatul Layl as usual. Instead, he stayed in his house. He stayed inside the house for Salatul Layl. Look at the hikmat and wisdom of Amir Mumin alayhi salam. And we find in that night, Muhaddis Qummi has said that he stopped Imam Hassan from going along with him. As Imam Hassan was about to go along with him, he stopped him. So Amir Mumin alayhi salam is waiting for that time. And he says in that night, Allahumma barik li fil maut. Hadith Qummi says that Mawla said this statement, O my Lord, give barakat for me in death. Look at how Imam Ali Islam is prepared for the liqa'ullah, for meeting with Allah. Allahumma barik li fil maut. So we find as Amir Mumineen is going out of the house, the ducks were there. There were some ducks which were pecked in the house of Umm Kulsoom. And the ducks came forward. And they were, as if it seems that the ducks also realize that this is the final time for Amir Mumineen, the Mawla. And the Imam Ali is the Mawla of the animals as well. So they came in forward and they were as if they were blocking the way of Amir Mumineen to come forward, to go. And Amir, look at the adl of Amir, adalat and adl of Amir al-Mu'mineen. He says to his daughter, you know, bihaq, according to, for the sake of his haq, in other words, you know, you have to provide the food and water to these, to them, or set them free. That means if you cannot take care of these animals, then set them free, so they can eat from the nabat, the plantation of the earth. Look at how much he is careful about the animals and providing the adl towards the animals. So we have the comprehensive system for all the things, all the existences around us. So we find Amir Mumineen is now stepping out, and someone was about to remove the ducks away from his way. And Imam Ali says, "Da'uhunna, fa'innahunna sawa'ih." تَتْبَعُهَا نَوَائِحِ. That means leave them. These are, you know, obviously, in other words, these are the animals who are crying. And after that, it will be the nauha, the time of the nauha. That means there will be some people who were doing nauha. That means soon it will be the shahadat of Imam Ali alayhi salam, and people will be doing the nauha again for him. So we find Amir Mumineen goes there in the masjid. And when he goes into the masjid, we find that there were a few people who were available and sleeping. Amir Mumineen is waking up anyone who is sleeping there, including Ibn Muljim al-Muradi la'anatullah alayh, who is lying over his belly. And he says to Ibn Muljim that don't lie like this. This is the way of shayateen. That means that's how the shayateen sleep. You sleep over your right side, which is the way of the mu'min. That's how the mu'min people sleep, over the right hand side, or the sleep over the left side, which is the way of sleep of the hukama, or sleep over the back side, which is how, in other words, the prophet sleeps. So the prophets sleep, in other words. So we find he woke up, although Ibn Muljim was not sleeping, but look at how Amir Mumineen is doing the Itmam al-Hujjah. And he says to Ibn Muljim that I know what you are hiding under you. Amir Mumineen is even waking up his enemy when it's the time of the prayer comes. Look at the importance he gives to the prayers. And now we find that Amir Mumineen moves forward towards the mihrab and he starts his prayers. He starts his prayers, you know, in the same khushu that he always has. We find when he's raising the head from the sajda, there are three people narrated in the history who came to hit Amir Mumineen. You know, there were three people, Shabib and Wardan and Ibn Muljim la'anatullah alayhim. But we find that the darbat of others did not hit the Imam, but the darbat of Ibn Muljim, when Imam was raising his head from the sajda, that's where we find the darbat of Ibn Muljim came. He hit over the head of Imam Ali, and it struck on the same place, the same point where Amr ibn Abdawud la'anatullah alayhi had hit in the battle of Ahzab and Khandaq, and Amir al-Mu'mineen falls down. Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib falls down in the mihrab, and the blood comes out. Blood comes out of his head. This is what the Prophet has promised. Prophet has prophesied that the beard of Imam Ali will become red with the blood of his head. Isn't that right? So we find that what the Prophet said becomes true. It's always true. His beard became red with the blood of his head. And Imam Ali salam is now the same Imam Ali who when he received the verbat over his head, he says, Bismillah wa billah wa ala millati Rasulullah fustu wa rabbil Kaaba. He says the statement that I succeeded, I swear to the Lord of Kaaba. Imam Ali never said that statement at any other occasion when he is winning all the battles in Badr and Uhud and Khandaq and Hunayn. He never said this statement when he received the verbat and he leads his entire life on the ubudiyat of Allah. We find and he succeeds. He says that Fustu wa Rabbil Kaaba, and he is now picking up the turab, the soil from the mihrab, and pouring over his own head, putting the soil and pouring over his own head, and he reads that ayat of Quran, Minha khalaqnakum wa fiha nu'idukum wa minha nukhrijukum taratan ukhra, which we learn in the light of the verse, we created you from the soil. You know, Allah created us from the soil, in other words, and Allah is going to return us back towards the soil, and He is going to resurrect us again back from the soil. The nida of Jibreel, according to the narration, says, Jibreel came between Samawat and Earth, between the heavens and earth, and he made an announcement, Tahaddamat wallahi arkanul huda, the pillars of guidance, I swear to Allah, shattered, and they're shattered. Qutla ibn Amm al-Mustafa, the cousin of Mustafa has been killed. Qutla Ali ibn al-Murtada, Ali al-Murtada has been killed. Qatalahu ashqa al-ashqiya, the most shaqi of all has killed him. Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimeen, wa sayya'lamu al-ladhina zalamu ayyamun qalbin yanqalibun. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها يا الله. اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما يحول بيننا وبين معصيتك ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به رضوانك ومن اليقين ما يهون علينا به مصيبات الدنيا. اللهم أمتعنا بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقوتنا ما أحييتنا واجعله الوارث منا واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا على من عادانا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا تسلط علينا من لا يرحمنا بحق محمد وآله الطاهرين يا حسين.